It's morning, Ireland. It's 13 minutes past seven. Less than 5 hours to go before nominations close for this year's presidential election. And barrister Maria Steen is still in pursuit of three more nominations to get her to the magic 20 Oireachtas members she needs to get on that ballot. Yesterday, she reached the support of 17 politicians. But can she scale the final summit and persuade three more senators or TDs to come to her aid? We can talk now to Aubrey McCarthy, the independent senator and founder of Tiglan, the charity that provides help to homeless people and those impacted by poverty. Senator Aubrey McCarthy, good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Mary.
Have you had conversations with Maria Steen?
Mary, I was in a meeting with her yesterday evening. She asked to meet me, the first time I'd met Maria Steen, and she outlined her campaign. And most of you, your listeners, will know I'm a new senator. So this is my first presidential nomination process. So from the very outset, I said to anybody who approached me regarding a nomination that if they made it to the late teens, I certainly would not stand in the way of anybody getting over the line, and I would certainly not hold back access to a nomination.
So what did you say to Maria Steen?
Well, I'll tell you what, I had a relative that wasn't well in Scotland, so I went over and I returned yesterday. So had all my committees yesterday, met Maria Steen late last night, and I told her that I would come back to her last night. I couldn't get her, so I got her this morning first thing. She'd gone to bed early. She had a busy day, and I told her that I would certainly lend my nomination to her, and I would sign the papers this morning. So it brings her, as I said from the very outset to anybody who asked, it brings her to the late teens.
Yes, it brings her now to 18, I think. When you had those conversations with Maria Steen, did you have common ground?
We did. No, we had a fairly firm and a frank conversation. As you know, I have different centres. I've covering all sorts of social inclusion. So it was important that we found common ground. We certainly did not agree on everything. However, if you look at the very process of democracy, and as an independent, I wanted to be a true independent. As I am an independent senator myself, I was voted in on the Trinity panel. So that's why I said, no, I cannot be one to hold back somebody. If they're suitable as a candidate, as they qualify as a candidate, I'm not going to be the one to hold that back. And so that's why I agreed to put my name forward. The decision itself is not an endorsement of her campaign. I've only met her yesterday, but it certainly shows that I believe that she deserves the opportunity to make the case to voters. And then voters will have the right to decide who is best suited to serve.
Well, you sort of preempted my next question, but will you vote for her if she makes it onto the ballot?
I'd have to see. I haven't seen any of the candidates. Even Heather Humphreys, we would have similar views on a lot of things. I don't know anything about Jim Gavin. I've a colleague of Catherine Connolly, a fairly new colleague. So I want to see what exactly the campaigns put forward. I have no knowledge of Marie. I know she would be a very eloquent, a very able lady. So really, it'll all depend now on what campaign she puts forward and if she gets the final two.
Indeed. And do you think you will endorse a candidate before the election, before the ballot on October the 24th?
I think definitely it's all to play for. I think, politics is exciting, and I do think voters deserve the right to decide. And it just is really who presents as best suited to serve. The debates will be crucial. I'm looking forward to seeing, how people present themselves. And as I said, I think it's all to play for.
And she still needs two more votes, of course. Have you spoken to any of your other Senate or Oireachtas colleagues about they're now signing her nomination papers?
Different people have their own allegiances and different people have their own views. I literally got back from Scotland yesterday. We had the housing committee, the petitions, a lot of committees. And then last night I had a dinner. So I haven't really engaged with anyone. And that's why a lot of them will see this as a surprise this morning.
See it as a surprise, you think?
Well, I mean, I'm only coming out this morning, but literally I had no option otherwise unless late last night.
All right. Well, you've now signed the nomination papers for Maria Steen. So she has reached the 18. She needs 20. Senator Aubrey McCarthy, thank you very much indeed for joining us. So Micheál Lehane, our political correspondent. So now 18 votes for Maria Steen. What happens next?
Well, I think the pursuit of two more votes will continue. It'll continue really until about 10 o'clock because I think there is a provisional appointment at the Customs House that Maria Steen has around 11. So logistically, this would have to be boxed off at 10 o'clock. Aubrey McCarthy is a significant development at the same time. I think he's a number that would have been factored into 18. Pather Tobin at certain points yesterday speaking about 18 because they had a signal from him going back some time that he would sign up if they got high in numbers. That confirmed now. But it does seem like the task of getting two more looks quite difficult for Maria Steen. No one on the Fianna Fáil side, despite some speculation, looks likely to jump at the last minute to give her a nomination, a focus too, perhaps on some independent members of government. But I'm not sure anything's going to happen there. People like Kevin Boxer Moore and adamant, they're not in discussions. So this still looks like the toughest and the most difficult mile, the final one for Maria Steen.
Are there a few independent voices in the Shannon that she can still try to get to, try to get them to sign those nomination papers?
Those who have spoken to the independent members of the Shannon, who would have been seen perhaps by some as the obvious people who would sign those nomination papers, were adamant yesterday that they wouldn't for a number of reasons. One, that some of them believe that signing a nomination paper is akin in some ways to saying that you have some matching views or matching policies. Others just simply really annoyed at the level of intense lobbying from people at a distance perhaps who are supportive of the idea of Maria Steen getting on the ballot paper, that they found all that just too much.
And isn't that the democratic process?
That is the democratic process. Was it the scale of it, particularly the online part of all that and some of the comments that were made online by people who were showing a reluctance to sign those nomination papers? I think that led some people to become entrenched in their view that they would not budge.
And Micheál, she now has 18. Do you think if she doesn't make it to the ballot by 10 o'clock this morning or by midday to get to the Custom House to be able to lodge her papers, is it a bad look for the political parties?
Well, I suppose in one sense it is very different because you did from 1997 onwards have a route for people outside of the big parties or outside of parties coming together to be able to get onto the ballot paper, whether that was through the councils or somewhere else. It did seem far more constrained this time. And I think that is something that the political system, it says it's going to reflect on it and it will look at the process next time because it does seem so narrow. But like it could be like one of those things like Shannon reform. It's mentioned at a certain time, but nothing ever really changes. But there is no doubt the task of those trying to get on the ballot paper this time was far more arduous.
So as we speak, Micheál, three have been nominated to go into this race now, which officially gets underway today, doesn't it?
Well, it does, because that's the cutoff point for anyone else entering the race. So you could have just three candidates. That hasn't happened since 1990, but it would be game on from that point. And I suppose they have been in the field a few weeks now, so people have a rough idea of where they stand on certain things. But the debates and the real intense debating only getting underway after today.
And do we know as yet how that is going to play out in terms of debates between the candidates, whether that's three candidates now or four candidates over the course of the campaign, which will go on until polling on the 24th of October?
Well, I think there could be a radio debate as early as this weekend and then the final week of the campaign leading into the 24th, there could be a big television debate. So that will be a key part of it. Interesting too that this, of course, will be such a smaller field. Who will do better on that one and how much will the groundwork, the ground battle be a significant part of this? All parties and all of those involved seeking to get out around the country now and spread their message that way. The difference in a presidential election, of course, does centre on the fact that it is something that is focused on the candidates primarily. Unlike a general election, a policy announcement can't be made. So if someone becomes embroiled in a controversy, there is no way of moving from that or shifting from it. So it is those key moments in an election that can be the defining ones.
And we'll be talking to Ancamashun Tocoin later on about the register and electoral turnout and all of that. But might there be a worry that, you know, that this campaign needs to spark and really get going, that if it doesn't, that turnout in the election could be low.
Yeah, I think that's a feeling around Leinster House. There is that view that that could easily happen, given that the field is so narrow, given that the candidates' names are already out there. And if there isn't a last-minute surprise or a last-minute addition to the ticket by someone like Maria Steen, could this be quite a flat campaign? I suppose there hasn't been a very flat presidential campaign in the end because of the intense focus, because the fact people have nowhere to hide if issues come up. So perhaps somewhere along the line, this campaign will spark to life.
All right, our political correspondent, Micheál Lehane. Thank you. It's 23 minutes past seven.